It's taxation podcast time again, and it's Daniel and Mike talking again.
Hi there.
And this week we are going to take a slightly different approach, in so much as we're going to concentrate on one subject for reasons which will become clear in a moment. First of all, we'll just go very quickly go through what else we've got in this week's issue. This is number 4293. Keith Gordon is looking at the options available to taxpayers unhappy with a tribunal ruling.
Yeah, of which the obvious one is appeal, but he's got one or two other possibilities as well, so worth having a little look there. And again, it's just getting to grips with the new tribunal rules, because a lot of us still aren't really up to speed with them.
John Newth examines the latest developments for individuals, who work from home.
Yeah, always a tricky one, knowing exactly what you can and can't claim. A couple of new cases, well worth a look to get to grips with.
Barry Hallam highlights tax bargains that will be ending soon.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of your standard end of year tax planning, except that there are quite a few things that are the end of this year and won't be here the end of next year, so yeah.
Oh, and not in the magazine, but online, I look at whether pages on the revenues website are designed properly.
And we've got Phil Berwick. Phil Berwick did a quick piece for us on the Liechtenstein disclosure facility, including a letter you can send to clients. Which
so
we
did.
Handy.
Yeah. So we did. And we'll endeavour to get a downloadable version of that letter on the website as well. We want to concentrate on, simply because it's such a big story and we have quite a wealth of detail about it this week, is the Christopher Lunn & Co. situation.
Yes. What we're looking at the moment is the judicial review case, or primarily the judicial review case, which I reported as it went along. And we got the judgment last week. They won the judicial review. I need to go back a bit, don't I, and explain who all this lot are. This is the trouble, I get so sort of into it. Christopher Lunn & Company, firm down in Crowborough, who deal a lot with media and TV clients. They are the subject of a criminal investigation, and we should make it clear that criminal investigation is still ongoing. So everything that's sort of flying around at the moment is allegations not yet being proved in court. Things that we get in the judicial review case don't get tested as evidence. It's taken more or less as it stands. So they were raided by the Revenue June last year, and in November, I think it was last year, the Revenue turned around and said that they would no longer accept them as agents. And in the meantime, they've invited their clients to come forward with disclosures. Now, it was that point about agency that was the subject of this first judicial review case. They were saying, firstly, that they didn't get any chance to make representations, and secondly, that they didn't get proper reasons for the sort of abolition of their status as tax agents. Primarily on the first of those, they've won. They should have been given the opportunity to give their side of the story in advance. In other words, before the Revenue actually made the decision that they did to terminate their status. So, potentially, it could all be remade again. And we could go around this whole merry-go-round yet another time.
And you had the opportunity, as a number of people did, to speak to Mr. Lunn.
Yes, I did. And we put our interview up. I haven't, as the Sunday Times did, said that it was exclusive on the grounds that fairly clearly it wasn't. Yes, he is insistent that they have done nothing wrong. Some of the interesting things, as far as accountants will be concerned, it is clear from their website that they have had a situation where they've put a standard charge in for accountancy and bookkeeping, and that the clients haven't always actually paid that much. I did ask him how that didn't get picked up the following year. I mean, putting a provision in is fine. You'd sort of expect it to get picked up the following year. But he's not prepared to answer questions on things like that at the moment because of the ongoing criminal investigation, I suppose. I was also talking to him about how long it's going to take to get things up and running again. And he seems to think it's going to be faster than I would have thought it might be, actually.
I think the Times described him, the Sunday Times described him as bullish. That's quite accurate.
Oh yes, he is. He's fairly gung ho. Convinced there is no problem. Convinced that he will be exonerated at the end of all of this. So you know, we wait and see.
What's probably of slightly more exclusive is your analysis this week of the judicial review.
Well, you need to start thinking about this. How do you look at this? Do you look at it on the basis that the revenue could just effectively destroy any accountant that they want to by taking away their right to trade? Or do you say, well, surely the revenue have got to be able to take away the right to trade of people who they think are causing a real problem, regardless of what the truth is in this case? I think that's definitely worth a look, particularly in the light of the working with agents consultation that was going on. With hindsight, it becomes quite clear why they didn't bring that forward into final legislation for the finance bill, because they're obviously, I assume, looking at it in the light of this case.
Yeah, that's not quite been resolved yet.
No, it got stuck. We got the draft legislation out almost a year ago, which was frankly barking, and I said so at the time, and you sort of expected that it would. There was a consultation which finished in April. You expected there would have been some sort of wind up to that, but hasn't happened.
Is it likely to become a hot topic again?
Yeah. Exactly when, I don't know. I would have thought they'll say something in the budget. That would be the natural place to say something. But really, they need to actually stop and look again, because all of the consultation, particularly on the registration side, did you want to have agents registered? All of it was on the basis that we assumed, you know, that that agents were automatically agents if they just told the revenue that they were. We didn't assume that the revenue could turn around and say, sorry, we're not dealing with you anymore.
Could the Lung Judicial Review then quite muddied the situation?
I think it's completely muddied the consultation, yeah, because the premise that we were working on is gone. I mean, the premise was either we have a registration system or we go on as we have in the past, where anyone can be an agent if a taxpayer wants them to be. Now that we're being told actually it's not quite as straightforward as that, albeit that this is only the second ever case that they've done, but it just sort of opens our eyes to the fact that there's no automatic right to be an agent.
But as with any sort of precedent, it only takes one case.
Exactly, one case changes the whole thing. And I mean, the only other one before that was of somebody who had already been convicted. It's the fact that they have not been convicted that causes the problem, really.
Controversy, we love it.
We do indeed.
Right, thanks, Mike. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we hope you'll download us next week. Cheerio.
Cheers now.